Please be seated.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's always a great pleasure to open God's Word during our time of worship. Well, Psalm 119 is the giant of the Psalter. And throughout its great length, it maintains a laser beam focus on one theme, and that theme is the power, the purity, the perfection of God's Word through 176 verses. But amazingly, the psalm is not repetitive. Each and every verse of the psalm presents that theme in a new light, in a new way, with new imagery. So there are many surprises in this psalm, verses that sort of take us off guard and urge us to think about God's Word in new ways, in very memorable ways. And we're going to focus on just one such verse this morning in our short time together, Psalm 119, verse 54. 119, verse 54, where the psalmist says, "Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the book Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. And you know that's one of the best known and widely read pieces of Christian literature. And that particular book is an allegory about the Christian life in which the main character, Christian, goes on his journey from this world into his heavenly home. And along the way, he faces many challenges, many spiritual pitfalls. But the Lord sees him through that journey and finally receives him into glory. And I think that story has resonated with so many people over the centuries because believers can identify with that experience. You and I can identify with that pilgrim experience in this world. We as God's people are on a journey through this life and through this world. It's a journey that ends in the presence of our Lord and Savior. But as you and I know, that pathway winds through this world with all of its vast array of circumstances and challenges. But throughout that journey, the Lord often calls upon us to remember our destination, to remember that this world is not our true home, and to remember that we are pilgrims on this earth. We're going to look at this one verse this morning, and that verse brings those thoughts and those points to mind. And this verse also encourages us to not grow weary on that journey, but to remember our blessed destination. So from this one verse this morning, we're going to draw three simple points from this one verse. The first point is this, that the life of faith is a spiritual pilgrimage. The second point is that pilgrims sing. And the third point is that as spiritual pilgrims, we have the perfect songbook on our journey of faith. So let's look at our verse a little bit more closely now. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Maybe one of the first questions is, what does that curious phrase mean, the house of my pilgrimage? Because a pilgrim doesn't have a house, right? A pilgrim is not at home. A pilgrim is on a journey. Well, that phrase, the house of something, as it's used in the Old Testament, is used metaphorically to describe a particular experience or a particular place with one main characteristic. For instance, Egypt is called the house of bondage. And that's because that was Israel's experience there, slavery. You know the birthplace of our Savior, Bethlehem. Well, that means in Hebrew, house of bread. And that is because that was a particularly fertile place. But Egypt and Bethlehem are not literal houses, but they are called the house of something to capture a particular characteristic or experience. So when the psalmist speaks of the house of my pilgrimage, he's not talking about a literal house. He's talking about his spiritual experience in this world. He is a pilgrim. He is a traveler. He is someone who is not yet home. And that brings us to our first point. The life of faith is a spiritual pilgrimage. And that is, interestingly, a surprising and recurring theme in Psalm 119. There's at least a half dozen verses where the psalmist expresses his pilgrim status. One is just a page back in verse 19. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. And that's typical. We see that throughout this psalm, that pilgrim mindset, that stranger status that the psalmist confesses. And as he confesses that, we know that he stands in a very long line of believers before him and after him who consider themselves pilgrims in this world. The patriarchs of the faith were sojourners, travelers, pilgrims. Remember that God told Abraham that he would be a stranger in the land that was not his. That was a major point of his spiritual experience in this world, wasn't it? Being a stranger in the earth, being a wanderer, being a traveler, a pilgrim. And that experience was a spiritual lesson to him and to all of those who are of like precious faith with our father Abraham, the lesson that our true home is not in this world. And our time here is actually very short. In a spiritual sense, we are just passing through. And the writer of Hebrews takes that experience of the patriarchs and he turns it into an invaluable lesson for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, in the great hall of faith, speaking of the patriarchs, he said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." That was part of their confession, that they were pilgrims in this world. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to talk about how they desired a better home, their permanent home, that city whose builder and maker is God. And they kept their eyes upon that promise. It is sometimes easy to forget that in our own lives, isn't it? Because from day to day, as we live our lives seem long, don't they? We make plans. We think about the future. We put down roots in this world. We establish our homes and we raise families. And those are all good things. Those are good blessings from the Lord. But it comes to the point where everything seems and feels so permanent to us. But Scripture reminds us that it isn't. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a better place for us, a place in His Father's house. There is a rest that is prepared for us, and we are urged to keep our eyes upon that rest and enter into that rest. Jesus said He goes to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we may be also. And that eternal dwelling will be our permanent residence, far better, unspeakably more glorious than our earthly homes. Now, of course, it is good and proper for us to embrace and to enjoy the lives that God gives us here and now and the ministries that He gives us here and now. We are to make the most of our lives here for the glory of God and enjoy the blessings that He gives us. But we do need to be reminded often, don't we, that this world is not our true home and the things of this world are not our true joy. Like Abraham and the other forefathers in the faith, we are spiritual pilgrims journeying toward that city of God that He has prepared for us in Christ. And that was Christ's experience in this world, too. He came as a king whose kingdom was not of this world. And He had that experience of the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. He led a pilgrim's life in this world, and we, being joined to Him by faith, will share in that experience. Now, this pilgrim mindset, I think, instills two important outcomes. And the first is, if we remember that we're pilgrims in this world, we will certainly learn to worry less about the things of the world and be much more content. Because what pilgrim gets overly entangled in the affairs of a place that he is just passing through? Now, we shouldn't mistake this point. God gives us lives to live, ministries to do. All of that truly, truly matters. But then with the pilgrim mindset, we recognize that there are things that maybe don't matter quite as much as we think they do. One of the examples that comes to my mind is this. And you've noticed this, the political rancor that seems to grip our nation these days, left versus right, red state versus blue state, and people get very worked up about this this opposition. Now, we as Christians recognize that it matters. It matters who is the leader of our nation. It matters, and we should vote for and pray for Christian leaders, right, who acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, with a pilgrim mindset, we can also recognize that whether the next president has a D after his name or an R after his name, Christ is still the king, right? And wicked leaders come and go in this world since the beginning of time, but the gates of hell still haven't prevailed against the church. So we recognize from the pilgrim mindset that while things matter, we can also recognize that this world isn't our permanent home. And what follows from that is that we remember that we're pilgrims. We have real spiritual priorities. I want to call them pilgrim priorities. What is a pilgrim's priority? His journey, making the next step, making progress to his destination. And we as pilgrims ought to think that way. What is the purpose of today? We would be blessed if we got up in the morning and said, "What is the purpose of today? I'm a pilgrim in this world." Well, it is to make advances on my journey, to take steps toward my heavenly home, right? To grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A spiritual pilgrim keeps moving. He keeps growing in the faith in joyful anticipation of his arrival. Now, the second point this morning is that pilgrims sing. That's the connection made in our verse. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. What is this connection between singing and a pilgrimage? Well, it's a natural connection. It's a biblical connection. This has always been true of earthly pilgrimages. When people travel together in groups, they often sing, don't they? It seems to be a natural thing to do. Maybe it's an act of solidarity. Maybe it helps pass the time. Maybe it helps all of them to stay focused on their purpose and their destination. There's biblical precedence for this. In the Psalms, Psalm 120 through 134 are a group of psalms known as the Psalms of Ascents. And it's most likely that these psalms were sung by Old Testament believers as they made their yearly pilgrimages to Jerusalem for the great holy days. So there is a long-standing and biblical connection between being a pilgrim and singing. The act of singing joined them together in the solidarity of faith and gave them a chance to praise God together as they journeyed to meet him in worship. Singing is a natural thing to do on a pilgrimage. And as pilgrims with a heavenly home, we of all people have reason to sing. There are, let me suggest to you, three reasons why we sing on our pilgrimage, why we are singing pilgrims. First and foremost, singing is worship that expresses our love and our thankfulness to God who has promised us that eternal home. Of all of the ways that God could have commanded us to worship him, to praise him, isn't it amazing that he calls us to sing to him? It's such a simple thing, but that's what he commands, and that's what he desires to hear. I suspect it's because that singing involves our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our voices, and anyone can do it. And actually, you can do it anywhere. You can sing a psalm silently in your head. I'm glad you can, because my singing voice isn't very good, but my mental projection of my own voice is wonderful. And so I can sing a psalm silently in my head, no matter what I'm doing or where I am. And you can, too, whether you're stuck in traffic or doing some mundane task of life. You, the pilgrim, can be at worship, singing in your mind to the Lord, and he hears it while the rest of the world goes on around you. That's a beautiful thing. We offer words of praise with deep substance and content, and we intone them with melodies upon our lips, and so our minds and our hearts and our bodies all combine together to form this offering of thanksgiving to God, of singing. It's such a simple thing, isn't it? If the Lord tells us this is pleasing to him, it's amazing. It glorifies him. The great God of heaven and earth, the maker of all things, loves to hear the singing of his people. The second reason to sing on our pilgrimage is perhaps it's the greatest way to express our joy in the Lord. There's a wonderful verse in the book of James, one of my favorites, where he puts the point so pointedly, so tersely. He says, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." That's what cheerful people do. They sing. Now, there are trials and sorrows in life, and there are psalms for those occasions, too. But we of all people have reason to rejoice in the Lord and in his salvation, because we have new life in Christ already. We have been redeemed, and we do have an eternal home that is promised to us. And we are on a pilgrimage to that place to be in his presence. And so you and I, of all people, have reason to sing. The third reason we sing on our pilgrimage is it expresses our unity in Christ, when all of our voices rise up as one in praise. Now, you can sing by yourself, and that's wonderful. You can sing in your mind, and that's great, too. But we were meant to sing together, because we're on a journey together. And when we sing together, it's not just a show of our unity, but it's also a blessing to you and to me as we sing on our pilgrimage. It is an encouragement to us on that journey. There's two important passages about singing in the New Testament, and both say something about the blessing and the benefit of singing together. Ephesians 5:19 talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16 says that we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Both of those verses use that important phrase, one another. You hear me sing, I hear you sing. We are edifying and teaching one another as we do that and expressing our unity as one body of faith. So we are pilgrims in this world, and pilgrims sing. Singing reminds us that we are on a journey, and it encourages us all together to stay the course of faith, doesn't it? And that brings us to our third point. As spiritual pilgrims, we have the perfect songbook to sing on our journey. The psalmist says in our verse, "Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Now, the psalmist uses statutes, judgments, commandments, precepts. He piles up these synonyms to refer to the totality of the Word of God. But you and I know that of all of the statutes of God, of all the Scripture, there is one book in particular that we know was meant to be sung. That's the design of it, because it is a book of songs, and that is the Psalms. That seems to be the obvious reference here in this passage. When the psalmist talks about singing God's word, surely he has in mind the songs that come within God's word. And so just as the Israelites sang the psalms together when they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, this verse pictures the psalms as the songbook of all spiritual pilgrims who are on their journey to the presence of the Lord. And I think two important points flow from the wording of this verse. The psalmist refers to, first of all, the psalms as your statutes. He says, your statutes have been my songs. Your statutes have been my songs. Now, if the psalmist's songs are the psalms, you say that 10 times fast. If the psalmist's songs are the psalms, and I think that is a safe assumption, then how does he characterize them here? He characterizes them as your statutes. That is a different way to think about the psalms, isn't it? To think of them as 150 musical statutes. They contain the command, the direction, the instruction of God in no less an authoritative way as the other statutes of God, like the Ten Commandments. And this is how we teach and admonish one another, by singing them, according to Ephesians chapter 5. By singing the Psalms, they are God's statutes. Consider this, we learn a lot by singing together, don't we? We learn a lot by singing the Psalms. It is an education in itself. We learn how to live our lives to the glory of God. We're taught and admonished on this pilgrimage of faith. And so as we sing the Psalms, we should listen as much as we sing. And we should listen in the same way as we would listen to a sermon or a scripture reading, because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God is a means of grace. And when we sing it, our ears and our hearts have to be open to receiving its truth, because they are the good statutes of God. The second implication is this: by singing the Psalms, the Word of God gets implanted in our hearts, so that in one sense it becomes ours. Think about what the psalmist says: your statutes are my songs. Your statutes are my songs. What is yours has become mine. What belongs to God and comes from God becomes ours. It is his gift to us, implanted in our hearts. And when we sing his statutes, that's like a claim of ownership. That's like embracing them as ours. This is God's, and now it is mine. He has given it to me. And that's expressed in the following verses too, where verse 55 and 56 says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I keep your precepts. What has become mine? The scriptures has become mine. And that's expressed in our verse as well. Your statutes have become my songs. In the psalmist, God's word has been implanted in him, and now it is his to cherish and to meditate upon. And it becomes all the more memorable and more readily implanted in our hearts when we sing that word. And so when we sing the Psalms with faith, an amazing thing happens. His statutes become our songs, our blessing, our inheritance in the covenant of grace. God has promised to implant his word in our hearts, to write it upon our hearts. And when we sing the Psalms with faith, we embrace that promise. That promise becomes a reality. So we've learned three things today. First, we are pilgrims in this world. Secondly, pilgrims ought to sing on their journey. And thirdly, we have the perfect songbook. Let me leave you with two final thoughts this morning. And the first is this: when you sing a psalm, as we are about to in a moment, remember that you're a pilgrim. Singing should remind you of that. Singing a psalm should remind you of your pilgrim status in this world, and that you have a glorious destination. Every psalm you sing should remind you of that pilgrim status, and remind you furthermore of the glory that we have been promised in Christ in our eternal home. These are the songs of our pilgrimage, and we ought to think of the psalms in that light. But secondly and finally, I think we can apply this also maybe somewhat in the opposite way that James does. He said, if anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. That's wonderful advice. But I think we can apply it the other way as well. When the trials of life seem to hit, the hardships of this world, the worries of this life remind you that this world is not your home. Whenever the journey becomes difficult, sing a psalm, because that's what pilgrims do. Make God's statutes your songs, and you will find comfort and grace on your journey. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your statutes, which are perfect and eternal. And we thank you that your statutes may be our songs in this pilgrim journey of ours. And Father in heaven, remind us all this day that there is a rest prepared for us in your presence, a room in our Father's house. And may our hearts long for that presence. And as we continue our journey to that destination, we depend upon your grace, your kindness, and your goodness to us through Christ Jesus. And Father, as we take up this song to sing now, we sing it because we are pilgrims in this world, and your statutes are precious to us. And as we sing this psalm, O God, we are encouraged in our hearts that you are indeed sustaining us and bringing us to that place of glory which you have promised. Receive our praise, these statutes that are our songs, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to sing Psalm 119, Selection G. 119, Selection G.